I've had a little bit of that other stuff, and the only thing I want more is more of Jesus.
Yeah.
And we certainly thank the Lord. What a great, great message, and thank you so much for it, and the special music and the great time. And by the way, if you were not in Sunday school, I hope they had a recording of the message. What a great Sunday school lesson was taught this morning about this organism called the church, and I hope you get a copy of it and be able to listen to it. And it was just phenomenal. Thank you so much for Pastor Haynes for sharing that with us. Thank you for allowing Jeanette and me to be here again. It's my third time, and this is a very, very special place. Love people here. Thank you all for praying for us and allowing us to be a part of your family and a part of your immediate family. We thank the Lord for you. And Cammie, we're praying for you, and I thank you so much like a daughter, and I pray that you'll take whatever those pains are, throw them over on me. I can add it to what I have, and I'll be just fine. I'd rather you be feeling great. But you pray for her that God will certainly give her strength and just encourage her. And thank you all for having us. And pray for my wife. She hadn't traveled for a while and traveled with me. And I've got to come back to the West Coast next week. She's shaking her head already and says, forget it, you know. She said, I love you for fitting, married you 51 years, but I don't know if I love you that much. But anyway, thank you very much. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 5. Boy, we talked a lot today about the church and about the blessings of God and the goodness of God upon his local church. Just kind of falls in place with the message today. That's the way the Holy Spirit works. I'm going to preach to you a message I preached back in the late 80s. I was pondering in my mind that God had done some wonderful things to our church, and I was just rejoicing in the goodness of God and how he had blessed the local church. And I was reading in my devotions through the book of Isaiah, came across Isaiah chapter 5. God spoke to my heart in just a real special way, and I developed the message and preached to our church, and I want to share it here in this missions conference with you today. Isaiah chapter 5, once you find your place, if you're physically able to stand, you follow me along as I read the first 7 verses, and then pray, and you pray that God will certainly bless here today. Now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, the men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it. Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes, and now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned, nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And they look for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. Our Father, we thank you so much for this day, this Lord's Day. Thank you for the time of worship and the sweet music and fellowship, the opportunity we have to gather together in the Lord's church. Oh, if we would just realize how valuable it is to have this living organism. People of all walks of life can come together and meet God in a very special way. You put together something in the church that nothing else has. And we thank you for it. Help us to love it more and appreciate it more. Help us to plug into it and help us to realize it's an honor, it's a privilege to be a part of a good local New Testament church where a time, talent, and treasure counts for eternity. And I pray that you would pour out a blessing upon this place that I have come to love in a very special way. And thank you for the pastor. Thank you for his family. Thank you for the wonderful, wonderful people that you placed here to help reach the world. And I thank you for this missions conference and the missionaries, the special people you've sent here, and all the work that's been done. And people have worked so hard because they love and believe in the local church that you died for. I pray you'll bless in a very, very special way today. Take me as your servant. Cleanse me of any sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. In Isaiah chapter number 5, God uses the prophet Isaiah to speak to his people. It says in verse number 7, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant." We find that God now uses the major prophet Isaiah to be able to speak to Israel, his people, in a very, very special way. Oftentimes the Lord would use a parable, which is simply an earthly story to illustrate a spiritual truth. In this particular passage, he gives us a parable about, and listen to me, the Lord's vineyard. He's not talking about any vineyard. He's talking about something that belonged to the Lord. The nation of Israel belonged to the Lord. Those of us who are saved in the local New Testament church, the church belongs to the Lord. It's a wonderful privilege for me for 30 years to pastor this living organism that belongs to called the church, but it's not mine. It belongs to the Lord. As the pastor talked this morning, that he died for it. And he started the church. He put it together because he knew that he would save people, get them baptized, join them together. He would give them his presence, give them his Holy Spirit, give them his word, because it had a purpose for the church. And we find here now he talks about the Lord's vineyard. This particular vineyard was very special because God had given it very special attention. As a matter of fact, he placed it where he wanted it to be. He planted it at the right time. He pruned it when it needed it. He protected it from everything that wanted to destroy it. And he provided every single thing that his vineyard needed. Now you picture this. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about God deciding that he's going to plant a vineyard where he wants it. He's going to place it in the exact spot. He's going to prune it, get all the weeds out of it. He's going to protect it from the enemy that wants to destroy it. And then he's going to provide every single thing that this vineyard needed. I'm talking about God Almighty. Yes. This was not some vineyard that grew up in the wilderness. This was a vineyard that was placed there by God, planted by God, protected by God, pruned by God, provided for by God. Then it should have been a natural thing that if he had given this vineyard all of this attention, then he could expect to get good fruit. Don't you agree?
Yes, amen. That's good.
I planted you. I placed you. I pruned you. I protected you. I provided for you. But notice what he said in verse number 2. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built the tower in the midst of it. And also made a wine press therein. And notice this. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes. But it brought forth wild grapes. God said, all that attention that I gave my vineyard, when I reached down and plucked a fruit from my vineyard, instead of the juices being sweet from a vineyard that was so well taken care of, it tastes like a fruit you would get from a very neglected vineyard. And he wants us to understand, when a vineyard gets special attention, God expects special fruit. When I was thinking about that way back in the late 80s, I was thinking about the Crossroads Baptist Church, and I was excited about how God had planted the church. We just got a hold of some land, about to build a building, had a good mission program, had a lot of things going on. I knew that God had placed the church there, and God had planted the church there. I knew that God had pruned it over the years. I knew that God had protected it. I knew that God had provided for it. And I got to thinking about, when I looked at the men and women and boys and girls that made up that little church, we were meeting in the storefront at the time, and I thought it was the greatest thing in all the world that God had planted this local New Testament church. And then I started thinking about the goodness of God and the greatness of God and the blessings of God. And then I looked out and I saw some people in that church that with all the blessings and all the goodness and all that God had done, never seemed to take advantage of all that God had provided for his church. And it pierced my heart. God didn't have to do that. God didn't have to bless us. God didn't have to use us. But he chose to do that. I think about the church today. I think about this organism that was established by God. I think about, as I preach in churches of all sizes and all walks of life, I've seen churches where God has placed it where he wanted it. God has planted it at the right time. God has pruned it over the years. God has protected it. And God has certainly provided for it. Then it ought to be a natural thing, since the church belongs to God. Here's what I believe. God ought to walk over to the staff in his church and pluck a fruit. Yes. And the service ought to be good. Yes. He ought to walk over to the deacons and pluck a fruit. And the service ought to be good. He ought to be able to walk up and down the aisles in every pew and pluck a fruit. And it ought to be good. He ought to look down at the young people in this kind of vineyard and pluck a fruit. And it ought to be good. But oftentimes, when God has raised up the church to evangelize the world, he starts plucking. And all he finds, a bunch of wild grapes. The service is not sweet. Oftentimes it's sour. The service is not taking advantage of the goodness of God. And when I looked at Crossroads Baptist Church, we had some good fruit. But I got to thinking, how many wild grapes in God's vineyard will it take to hinder the work of God? And since I didn't know, I wanted every man, every woman, every boy, every girl says, what a privilege it is to be in God's church. And God, if you will look down at me and check out my service, God, I want it to be sweet to you. I want my service to be sweet. I want my giving to be sweet. I want my praying to be sweet wherever I am. In your vineyard, when you pluck me, help the juices of my service to be sweet. So I want to challenge you this morning with this thought. How sweet is your service because you are part of the Lord's vineyard? Shadow Mountain Baptist Church has been blessed by God. My third time here, let me tell you something. I preach in a lot of places. This is a special place. This is the Lord's vineyard. This is the Lord's church. He's done some things here. I mean, you can go to some places, you won't have the kind of people you have. You won't have the kind of blessing you have. You won't have the kind of singing you will have. You won't have the kind of preaching that you have here. And it ought to be when God puts that together, he comes from time to time, and he starts plucking. And when he plucks, he wants grapes that are sweet because they are appreciative of how great God has been to his local church. Now this may not be, you may have to fasten your seatbelts a little bit here. It may not be easy for you to say amen. The first part of you will. But I want you to see and be as convicted as I was when I started out praising God for how great the church was. I mean, I thought that church was the greatest church on the face of the earth. We had some faithful, laboring people. We were doing things. We had a good giving program. We had a good witnessing program. I mean, we're just getting ready to build a building program. I thought it was the greatest thing in the world until I read Isaiah chapter 5. And then I got convicted because I believe when we have vineyard privileges, God, not the preacher, not other people, God expects vineyard fruit.
Amen.
Now, very quickly, let's take a look at the Lord's vineyard. And at the end of it, I want to ask you this question. How sweet of a grape are you in this vineyard? That's all I want you to think about. How sweet is my service in the Lord's vineyard? And maybe you need to say, God, sweeten me up a little bit now, because we could do a better job for you if I was a little sweeter in your vineyard. Four quick things about this vineyard. The first thing I want you to notice about this vineyard is the Lord's concern for his vineyard. The Lord's concern for his church. Shadow Mountain Baptist Church is the Lord's church.
Amen.
God has a concern for this church. In verse number one, notice what he says about his vineyard. Now will I sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. The first thing I want you to notice about God's concern for his church. You know what he says, Shadow Mountain? He said, I have a personal passion for you.
Yes, amen.
I want you to know I love you. God loves this local church.
Amen.
He says, I have a personal passion. You're my beloved. You're my beloved vineyard. You belong to me. And God says, you may not always be perfect, may not always do what I want you to do, but I want you to know something. I love you.
Amen.
And he says, I planted my vineyard in a very prominent position. In this passage, he planted the vineyard on a hill where the sun could hit it from all directions. Hey, God says it's not by accident that you're here in Morgan Hill. I thought through this. I put you in a place right in the middle where you could reach some people. I knew that there were some people out there that needed to be saved. I knew there were some people out there that would give. I knew there were some people out there that would live right and do right. I knew there were some people out there that would go. And I planted you right here in this prominent position. Whatever you think, he says, I want you to remember this. I'm concerned about you. And then in verse number 2, we see his care for his vineyard. He had a personal passion that led him to put it in a prominent position. But notice the care he gave to his vineyard. He said in verse 2, he fenced it. God says, the devil hates my church. And those wolves and wild animals were coming to my vineyard and they'd eat my fruit. So when I planted it, I put a wall around it and fenced it.
Yes, amen. Glory.
Keep them out of here.
Yes.
I got a job for them to do. And some of them are weak. And some of them are new. And some of them have all kind of things going on. I want to keep the enemy away from them.
Amen.
He says, so I protected them. I like what he says in verse number 2, the second thing. And he gathered out the stones thereof. He said, I got rid of the rubbish. I found some of those people there in Shadow Mountain Baptist Church was out there in the world. They had all things going on. I cleaned them up.
Yes.
I got them ready. You know what? I cleaned them up because I wanted them emptied that I may fill them up because I want to use them to reach the world. So I put some folks in here that could do the job.
Yes.
Nobody in here has to be so concerned about what you can't do if you've been saved by the grace of God. You met Jesus Christ, then he cleaned out some rubbish out of your life, reached down in the miry clay, lifted you up, put a new song. You might have been singing in the nightclub. He said, I cleaned you up so you could sing in the church house. I got to work for you. He protected it. He purified it. He goes on and says, if that's not enough for my vineyard, he said, and planted it with the choicest vine. I put my presence there. You walk into Shadow Mountain Baptist Church, they know Jesus is in this place. You know what? Nobody's looking around at each other trying to look at how this person look or where they came from or what they have, because everybody's on level ground because we all looking up at Jesus. You walk in this place, folks get saved, folks get baptized, and by the way, I go places where folks don't get saved, folks don't get baptized, there's no presence of the Lord there. When you walk in this place, Jesus is here.
Amen.
But that protection, and the purification, and my presence, why would anybody in my vineyard want to be a wild grape? That's not enough for my protection and my purification and my presence. He goes on and said, he built the tower in the midst of it. In his vineyard, he built the tower. A tower was where he put somebody to watch over the vineyard to see what was going on. He said, you know what I did for Shadow Mountain Baptist Church? I not only protected it, purified the folks I put in there, put my presence in there, but I put my preacher in there.
Amen.
And you know what he does? He'll warn you about your enemy. He'll warn you about your duty. He'll warn you about delay, because he understands his job is to watch over you. And I didn't just put any preacher. I put this preacher there.
Amen.
And by the way, after hearing him preach here this morning in Sunday school, I'd have a hard time being a wild grape with that kind of preaching. Y'all thank God every day for good Bible, practical preaching of the Word of God. He said, then he put and also made a wine press therein. When the grapes were gathered together, they put them in the wine press and crush them, and the juice would flow. I see that as not only did he protect it and purified it and put his presence there and put a preacher there, but he put a way where you could be used, provided a way where your service could be used. Can you imagine your time, your talent, your treasure will count for eternity because of what you do in the Lord's vineyard? God says, Shadow Mountain Baptist Church, I love you. I have a passion for you. I care about you. I knew you couldn't do what I wanted you to do without me cleaning you up. And when I saved you, I not only gave you the power from me to have eternal life, but I gave you power to live a godly life, because I've got something for you to do.
Amen.
You're plugging in to a living organism to help reach the world. And he says, I cared for you. Now it gets tough after that. Every person in here has been saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Knows that God cares about you. He cares about his church. You know where he brought you from. You know what he's done in your life. You know where you used to be. And I tell you what, if I want more of anything, I want more of him.
Amen.
Because of what he's done in my life.
Amen.
So God says, you see my concern. You see my care that I've done. And then he says, but I got a complaint about my own vineyard. I got a complaint because they don't seem to understand my concern and my care. Because when I reached in there, I found too many wild grapes. And I want you to listen at what he said to his vineyard. Verse number 4. It's hard to even read the way it says it. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I had not done in it? Now picture the context. When I looked for grapes, I found wild grapes. And keep in mind, this is a God who purified, got the rubble, got the stones out, put the wall up, put his presence there, put the watchtower there, did all of these things. And then he paused for a second and says, maybe the problem with my vineyard is I didn't do enough for them. Maybe my salvation isn't enough. Maybe the Holy Spirit of God that lives in the workers, maybe that's not enough. Maybe the Bible I gave you to live by is not enough. Maybe the problem that you're sour instead of sweet It's my fault. And by the way, God knows it's not his fault what we are.
Yes, that's right.
And none of us would have the audacity to say that.
Amen.
So what he's simply saying is, I have been dedicated to my people. And then the next part of that verse, he says, because I've been that dedicated to my people, I have a right to be disappointed in the product.
Amen. Yeah.
If I've given that much to care and concern to my vineyard, and I looked for grapes and I found wild grapes, I know I've done everything. And by the way, his salvation alone, by itself, without all the other things we get in life, ought to be enough to say, here am I, send me. I'll go, I'll give, I'll pray, I'll serve. And he says, I've done all of that. Then don't you think I have a right to be disappointed in the product when I look for grapes? I found wild grapes in my vineyard. He said, I'm disappointed. And when God looks down at his local church and he thinks about me as a preacher, or think about you as a church member, or think about a young person or a choir member or anybody in this vineyard, when we're not the best that we can be for Almighty God, there's a God of heaven that gave his very best when he gave his only begotten son. He has a right to be disappointed in that which is his.
Yes.
So he says, that's my complaint. And then here's the part that just pricked me. He says, you've seen my concern. You've seen my care. You've heard my complaint. Then I'm going to caution my vineyard. Verse 5. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll remove the protection. If my vineyard doesn't love me enough, love my cause enough to understand what I want to do, not appreciate my protection, not appreciate how I clean them up, not appreciate the preaching, not appreciate opportunity to use your service, then I'll tell you what I will do with what's mine. And it hit me. Crossroads Baptist Church is not Lou Baldwin's church. It's God's church. So here's what he said. I will remove the protection. I will take away the hedge. I'll remove the hedge. And break down the walls. I'll remove all the help I've given my vineyard. They'll realize they have nothing but problems. Verse 5. And it shall be eaten up. And it shall be trodden down. There'll be the appearance of sin. And by the way, you ever wonder sometime why churches are dead and nothing's going on? You wonder what in the world has happened? He said, there'll be an absence of the Savior's blessings. And I will lay it waste. And notice what it says. There'll be no provision. It shall not be pruned nor digged. Can you imagine what a church would be like if God's not taking care of it? He said, I will also command the clouds that there rain no rain upon it. There'll be no power in there. Can you imagine going into a Shadow Mountain Baptist Church where nobody ever got saved? Nobody ever got baptized? He said, but there shall come up briars and thorns. And here's what God is saying. God expects vineyard fruit from those who've been given vineyard privileges. Now, back in 1980, when God spoke to me about this, I knew I had some sweet grapes in my church. I knew I had some people who were giving their very best to God. But what shook me up was I didn't know how many wild grapes in the church, that God would be in the church before God would remove the blessings. And I didn't want to take a chance. Was it 5, 10, 1, 15, 10%, 20%? I don't know. I'm a firm believer that anybody God's cleaned up and put in his local church ought to try to maximize your potential for Almighty God. Now, I don't preach Isaiah chapter 5 in every church. I go to some church, I wonder sometimes, where are the blessings? But when you're in a place where you know that God is blessing, God is providing, God is protecting, God's got a good preacher, God's got all of those things, we have more obligations. I tell people all the time, we're surrounded by a couple of old traditional churches. Nothing ever happens there. As a matter of fact, they'll say in the community, if you want to get saved, go up to Crossroads. If you want to have religion, come back to our church. Their church is not area to send their church members up because we preach the gospel and all they have are social clubs going on all the time. But if you want to get right and you want to do this or do that, you go up to Crossroads. There's an independent Baptist church just a few minutes from us one time that the preacher, a lady came in there and she was excited and loved the Lord, and she might have said amen in the church, and he said to her, you may want to go up to Crossroads. They're a little bit different up there. Maybe you go up there, you know. Lord help us. Yes. So I tell people all the time, God doesn't expect out of that church up the street what he expects out of Crossroads. We have the truth, and it's dangerous for a church to have a mission-hearted pastors and not have mission-hearted members, because we have no excuse. A mission-hearted pastor is in one of the Lord's vineyards. And I want you to think about this missions conference. Simply this. I know we have some sweet grapes, but I've never been in a church where you didn't have some grapes that needed to be a little sweeter. I'm not talking about getting some splendor and sugar and sprinkling on it to sweeten it up. That's false sweetness. I'm talking about when Jesus sweetens you up. When all of a sudden you admit to him, you know, we could do a lot more for the world and be a lot better if our giving was a little sweeter. My witnessing was a little sweeter. My prayer life was a little sweeter. And I don't ever want to come to the point in my life where I will cause God to take away the hedge or remove the wall from his vineyard. I want to be part of the kind of a vineyard that God can pluck anywhere, all over, anytime. Staff, all the way down to the young people, and pluck it. And the sweet service will be sweet to Almighty God. Amen. That ought to be a desire of every local church that you know without a doubt has the blessings of God. How many people really believe that Shadow Mountain Baptist Church has been blessed by God? Amen. Then you have been given vineyard privileges. Amen. And the God who gave those privileges, he expect vineyard fruit. May God help us when we make our decisions in this missions conference tonight by our giving, our going, what we're going to do for world evangelization. Let's have this thought in mind. God placed the church here, planted the church here, protected it, provided for it, pruned it, given us everything that we need as a local New Testament church. And I want to be as sweet as I can be, because God may pluck me one day, and I want him to pluck me because my service is sweet enough. He can use me to help reach a world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Make your commitment as sweet as it could be. Make your soul winning as sweet as it could be. Make your witnessing as sweet as it can be. After all, this is the Lord's vineyard. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a few moments. Going to ask a few questions, and then Pastor's going to come. How many men, women, boys, and girls in here today can say, preacher, one thing I do know for sure, I'm at least in the vineyard. I've been saved by the grace of God. There was one time when God cleaned me up, forgave me of my sins, washed me in the blood of Jesus Christ, put me in the vineyard. I know I'm saved. You know that. Would you raise your hands real high? I know that. That's settled in my heart. You may put them down. How many would be honest? Heads are bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around for just a moment and say, preacher, I'm in this vineyard. I'm a part of this local church. But if God were to pluck me now, I wouldn't be as sweet as I need to be. And I want you to pray that God will help me to be sweeter. So if he did pluck me to give, or pluck me to go, or pluck me to pray or do something, he'd find me not a wild grape, but sweeter. I need to be sweetened up a little bit more in my service. Would you pray for me? No one looking around. That's you. Would you slip your hands up? Thank you. God bless you. You may put them down. And then one last question. How many say, preacher, I'm not even a grape in the vineyard. I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If I died this day, I have no idea that I'd go to heaven, but I'm 100% sure I don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that at all? Just slip it up. I'll pray for you. Let's stand. Just a moment. I'm going to pray. Pastor going to come. And if God has a sweetener for his servants, it's not artificial. It's real. It's real. And if you're part of his vineyard, he wants you to be a sweet grape that he could use for his honor and glory. And maybe you ought to find time this Sunday of the final missions conference. Find your place at the altar and say, God, sweeten me up in the area that you see that I'll be a better servant for thee. Our Father, we love you today. I thank you. I thank you, first of all, for being in your vineyard. That's the saving of your grace to allow sinners to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ and put in your vineyard. But once we're there, you want us to be sweet. You want us to serve. You want us to give our very best. And I pray, dear God, that you would bless. You look down upon this vineyard fruit. And I pray, dear God, that you sweeten where they need to be sweetened. Help us to be the best we can be for you. There be one here today that's not saved. Save them by your grace. Now you bless the invitation. Do what only you can do. After all, this is your vineyard. Your presence needs to make the difference in our lives. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Pastor.
Every Christian praying this morning, I wonder as Brother Matt begins to sing, Just As I Am, Without One Plea, I wonder if today you need to be in that wine press of humility. We're going to give an invitation. And if you're a child of God and you say to the Lord today, you said to Brother Baldwin, preacher, pray for me. I need to be sweeter. And I wonder if you use this opportunity to come forward, just pray, spend some time with the Lord and say, God, here I am.